song right there, because that's the moment.
I was dancing.
That's that moment where it's like, okay, it's your audience. Turn the music down. It's inappropriate. Which, of course, some people love the inappropriate, but they don't. Yeah. So, anywho, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. We're flying solo today. It's just me and just Trish. We're going to make it. We're going to figure it out together. Nisha had to do some errands, and so it's just us. And we're going to get into all kinds of stuff, HR tech, HR evolution, all kinds of HR stuff. So, Trish, do us a favor as best you can. Of course, you have your fingers in about 19,000 different things, but as best you can, introduce yourself to the audience.
Oh, goodness, wow. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, William. It's always a pleasure. And it's okay that it's just us. You know, I'm kind of used to this radio show gig. I'm a good sidekick, so I can be your sidekick for the day. I am the VP of HR practice at Brandon Hall Group, working as an analyst in the HR and HR technology space. And prior to that, had been in an HR leadership and practitioner role for about 17 years. Do all kinds of geeky HR things on the side because I just can't seem to get enough. So I do participate in HR Evolution, which is an unconference for practitioners primarily. Also write the HR Ringleader blog and a more technical-focused blog on brandonhall.com. And last but not least, I'm on the HR Happy Hour radio show. So, yeah, that's me. And I'm a mom. I'm a mom. That's probably the most important thing. I say the best for last, right? Mother and wife.
Right.
And
yes.
Wife for, God, almost 20 years. Come up on 20 years, believe it or not. And then mom to 10-year-old twins. That's me in a nutshell.
And the 10-year-old twins, your son went through an injury recently, right?
Oh, yes, of course, right? So, you know, we were at a conference, and I, you know, I'm getting ready to kind of call it a day. I just finished my session, as a matter of fact, and I get this, you know, frantic text and picture of his broken foot, and he'd actually broken a toe. But, you know, it's funny because it's one of those injuries, especially, you know, for a kid. You think, oh, you broke your toe, big deal, you know, bounce back from it. And, well, it was a diagonal break, and so there was, like, talk of surgery and all this other stuff, which when you're fifth grade, like he is, he's into football, so it knocked him out of the whole month of practice leading up to his season, and he missed the first game. But I will tell you, he bounced back nicely. He came back for the second game of the season, which was his first back. He hadn't really practiced. He'd had one practice, and he got in the game, and two plays later ran for a long touchdown. It was like a 20-yard pass and a 40-yard run for a touchdown. So he's back.
And the University of Missouri is already scouting him, from what I hear, right?
I tell you what, he would hope so. It's funny to hear little ones talk about that. All the little boys, they talk about what college they're going to play, you know, football for and whatnot. I don't know if he'll be big enough. He's kind of an average-sized kid, but he's fast, so...
It's all good. My oldest is, if there were a college, a Minecraft college, I believe that's where Henry would be looking at right now. So, one of the things about being an analyst, as I look at all the analysts that are out there, you're one of the only, if not the only, that actually came up through the route of being a practitioner first. Is that how you see the analyst as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely it's a little bit different angle because maybe I, you know, some of the questions that maybe a more traditional analyst would look at, I don't necessarily find as the most intriguing or important to me. So I, you know, and again, I'm really still close to that practitioner role. So I still have that, you know, I'm kind of one foot in that world and one foot in the other. So, I'm definitely more about what are these vendors doing in terms of helping HR leaders understand what to buy, when to buy, how to buy, and then most importantly, how to implement that. So, you know, and I know you as well obviously find that important because you just did a session on that I thought was really well received at Missouri SHRM this summer, at least you've probably done it other places. But, and those are big questions for HR leaders. How do you know what to do?
Yeah. I think it's exceptional because you've bought a lot through your career since being a practitioner. You've evaluated, mm-hmm. you've shortlisted, you've demoed, you've been wined and dined and all of that bit. You signed off on a ton of contracts. So I think it's really compelling perspective that you've been on the other side of the desk. And so when you're talking to other practitioners, like, I've sat where you're sat, and here's what I see. I think that's, to me, that seems really relevant.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I hope that's the value that is offered, and that, you know, I hope that that's going to be a trend we'll see continue a little bit, because, you know, again, I think you need analysts who really understand deeply the data and the technology that go into these systems, and of course that's my area where I need to grow over these next coming years, and sort of make sure I'm educating myself on that side of it. But then, you know, yeah, the flip side is, you know, the analysts who've never bought a technology and had to go through, not just with your own HR team, of the intricacies of how in the world do you, you know, do you put in a large system, for example, while you're still trying to do your day job as an HR practitioner? It's really challenging. And so, yeah, there's probably something to be said for sitting across the table from someone who's really stressed and they don't really know which way to turn. And you can kind of say, you know, you can pat their hand like, hey, I've done this. I know I've had those sleepless nights myself, and I've had to have those discussions and build the business case for purchases of, you know, large and small. So, it's an interesting, it's a very different world that I'm now in, but I'm loving it. Besides the things I find interesting about HR and HR technology, kind of, you know, I'm right in the middle at the moment. So.
Well, what I love about all the Brandon Hall analysts is y'all are all really very approachable. Not speaking about anybody else, but just I think it's something that y'all have done really, really well as an analyst group, is that your analysts are really nice. They're very approachable. And it seems to me, at least from the outside looking in, that y'all help practitioners solve problems. And I think other analysts do that as well. They just have a different approach or tact. Let's talk about, because I know you interact with a ton of practitioners. What do you perceive as keeping folks up at night these days?
You know, honestly, I feel like it's still the basics. You know, as much as we would like to talk about the future of HR and sort of where things are going, and all that's going to continue to happen, but I sort of, you know, for example, when you look at, say, trends that come out each year, well, it may be a trend in terms of talking about it, but these things are still very basic at the practitioner level. And so they really are still struggling with things like employee engagement and diversity training. And I'll give you a good example. So it is so rare that we have an HR conference in St. Louis. I don't know why, because we're so centrally located, it would be ideal. But at any rate, I happen to be at one today, and Ultimate Software is putting on a one-day HR conference here. And so I'm in a room of practitioners, and the three topics that they're talking about, they did this whole morning has been nothing but diversity awareness, and emotional intelligence. They're also going to do a whole session on employee engagement, which, you know, to those of us who travel or do a lot of this, we might think, well, wow, that's such a tired topic. It's not, because, again, these you're talking about practitioners. This may be the only event they get to in the next 2 to 3 years. So I think that still it's those normal, just how do you run the business day to day and maybe get a little bit ahead and maybe be a little strategic, you know? I feel like there's a lot of talk about being strategic in HR, but when you still have to make sure the compliance gets done and the payroll checks, you know, get cut and all that, I still think that's what's keeping them up.
Well, let's look at HR tech for a moment, because I know that it's probably top of mind, and because it's next week, it's probably top on all of our schedules. What's what are you looking forward to? What's going to be your approach? Take us into Trish's planning for HR tech, if you don't mind.
Oh, you know what? Surprisingly, it's changed. I thought nothing would change, you know, because I've been there like you so many times. And I will say this. I'm usually much more focused on a wide variety of things. Like I would say in the past 5 years, I've probably sort of spent some time doing briefings, sometime attending sessions, a little bit of time actually getting to lead a session, and then also in the expo hall. And so this year, it's much more heavily focused, obviously, on briefings because of my job, my day job now. But also, you know, I think for me, I'm most looking forward to the sessions, because if I can break away, I really want to do the general session, which is going to be talking about, you know, the future of robotics and just the mechanics that are going to be impacting technology and in our jobs over the next coming years. So that's pretty fascinating to me. And then this is going to sound hopefully not too corny, but as someone who had been an attendee for a long time, I remember several years ago, there was a session where Naomi Bloom led a great discussion with sort of the top level leaders in many of the providers, the large sort of like tier one providers. And I was fascinated, but I was thinking we need to see something like this with CHROs at the table. And so I was able to pitch that idea and get that approved. So my session this year is going to be talking with, you know, several CHROs who happen to also be at technology vendors. So they get both sides of it. So they're, you know, technologically focused, but also very astute when it comes to the human resource industry. And so I hope to ask them some of the fun questions and the really tough questions too.
So on your briefings, how do you pick? Because you've probably got no less than 500 people that want to meet with you. Mm-hmm. Is it alphabetical order? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, like, how do you only have so
many. I have a big dartboard.
Yeah, right?
No, I set up balloons and then I pop them.
Yeah.
No, you know what? That's a good question. So I don't know that there's a real method to my madness this year, but first of all, I mean, you mentioned I work with some really good people. So there's a whole, the benefit of working at Brandon Hall Group is there's a team of us. And so we go as a team. And so between all of us, we get to hit probably just about every vendor that wants to meet with us. So for me, the hardest thing about deciding is you have to say no to some. You just have to. Otherwise, and I know you've done this before yourself, you will wind up sitting in briefings from, you know, 7:30, 8 in the morning all the way to 6 p.m. and seeing and doing nothing else. So for me, I did a little bit of those sort of new and emerging kinds of solutions that are really just interesting to me. And then some of them were tried and true because, you know, a lot of the big vendors come up with, you know, all of their new launches this time of year. So I tried to balance that out a little bit. I also, you know, it's funny. It's so busy leading up to it because, you know, there are certain ones that you're just not going to get to. And so you try and do the briefings either before the event or, you know, I'm already scheduling a week or two after the event as well. So, yeah.
So
no real method.
Briefing. Right. Yeah. I saw monkeys throwing darts. That's what. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
What's the perfect briefing for you? Do you want to do an hour briefing and get into tech? Do you want to do a 30-minute briefing and focus mostly on the story? Like, if somebody new was pitching you or briefing you, what would you really, really want out of that briefing?
Okay. So I have maybe a two-part answer. So the first part is if I don't have any connection with that company yet, if I've never seen their solution, I do prefer the more traditional type setup. So, you know, a good 30 minutes at least where I'm really learning, where it's more about the technology. If it's someone where I've purchased the technology in a past, you know, life with an employer, or maybe, you know, and they've just had many updates since then or whatnot, or if I have some familiarity with them, I honestly prefer not to do a traditional briefing, and I don't know if this is odd or if anybody else does this. This is what Trish to do and I'm going to do. I'd rather just say, you know what, let's go grab a cup of coffee and get out of the press room and go talk for 20, 30 minutes and just give me the highlights. What are the updates? You know, you can send me the info, whatever. But for me, then it's more, if I already have exposure to them, it's more about building the relationship. So whether that's over lunch, over coffee, over a drink, I feel like I can get as much accomplished at, you know, a dinner or having a cocktail or a cup of coffee with someone as I can if I'm already familiar with the overall company. But, yeah, for the new ones, especially the startups, you know, there's going to be a whole startup pavilion this year that I'm really excited about, which is very different. And, you know, even if I can't get to briefings with many startups, which I have a few built in, but I hope to get over to the pavilion area in the expo hall because, you know, talking to those companies where they're just so passionate because it's all brand new and, you know, shiny, I want to do a little bit of that too.
Nice. the advice you would give to first-time attendees of HR Tech?
Oh, well, there's so much to see and do. So personally, if I were a practitioner going, I would plan to spend several hours in the expo hall and not passing by the booth, because it's very, you know, it can be intimidating if you're there for your first time. It can be a little scary to walk up to people and just say, hey, tell me about your product, but it will save you so much time in the end. So I would just encourage people, if you do nothing else, go to that expo hall and really talk to a variety of companies so that you start feeling comfortable with technology. And then I think that, you know, one thing that the conference does pretty well is setting up sessions, whether it's in panel form or not, but sessions where they not only highlight vendors, but then they also have, you know, them bring a client with them. So you can actually hear an HR leader from a real company say, this is the problem we faced. Here's how we first looked at our process, and then here's how we came to the solution that we purchased, and here's where we are now. So I love those kind of case studies come to life sessions.
Yeah, and comfortable shoes and party guy.
Oh my gosh.
So Jessica Millimero has done a wonderful job of pulling some of the party guides. Check that out. Are you going to be able to get out to parties this year? Are you with your newfound freedoms being taken away? No, I'm just kidding. Are you going to be able to get out to parties, or are you trying to get in by a certain time?
A few. So, no, I will, honestly, these are going to be 18 to 20-hour days and evenings. I will tell you this. So this is a caution. Here's a question for you. I tend to think this is more for the females. The party guide is wonderful, and that's true. If you do nothing but go to parties, if you're a female, you can tend to get a reputation of being a party girl. So I tend not to go to all the parties. I tend to do more dinners, things that are a little more low-key. You're still out networking. You're still meeting with really fascinating people. I will go to things like Naomi Bloom's party, though, and some of the ones that obviously have a really good reputation. But I would just say this. Temper the partying a little bit, and make sure you're keeping it all professional, because you don't want to get seen. I will tell you, though, so one of my good friends is getting married, and a lot of us will happen to be in Vegas, so we're doing my birthday is the 7th, which is the very first night of it, and so I would like to go out anyway, but we're also doing a bachelorette night. So Trish probably will get a little party on the very first night, and then the more professional dinner Trish will show up for the remainder. How about you? I mean, is that something men think of? Or?
No, not at all. This is, and you're 39.
You can go to all the parties.
So congrats on your 39th birthday.
Thank you.
You know, guys don't, generally speaking, guys don't think about this. So, and again, yet another inequity in our genders is just, we should think about it, quite frankly. We should be thinking about it so that we don't get that reputation as well. No criticism.
It is what it is, right?
We should think more carefully about putting ourselves out there in that way. And again, you're there for work. If you want to go to Vegas for a weekend, it's a different bit. For the last couple of years, I've viewed getting into my hotel, this can make me sound really old, and I'm not that old, but success for me is getting to my hotel by 10.
Oh, have you ever done that? I mean, has that happened?
Yeah, because I'll go to a party, I'll shake a couple hands, I'll have a drink or whatever, and then I'll say I'm using the restroom, and then I'll leave. I'll totally ghost people because I want to be back in my room. I want to call my wife. I want to go, you know, work back through the day and get a decent night of sleep. So, I sound 70. As I'm saying this, I sound 70. I'm not. Anyhow, tell me.
I feel good because I was going to try and get back by midnight, so now I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. So,
obviously with HR Evolution. So HR Tech, we got it. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait. But again, it is the blur that leads up to it, the blur of the show, and then the blur afterwards. I want to talk a little bit about HR Evolution because you, last couple of years, we've done it, y'all have done it in tandem with HR Tech, and you, going back to the formula of years before that, you had it as a separate standalone event. It's November 7th and 8th, I think, in Dallas. What are you looking for out of HR Evolution? What's kind of the big idea there?
Well, the one thing we wanted, and we always wanted this, we wanted it to have the original feel of the first several. And I think that while, you know, we partnered with HR Tech Conference and are so thankful with that relationship, but they really helped us handle the logistics. And so as the four planners, as we've had either, you know, promotions or different positions or whatnot over the years, that's, you know, it is something we do in our free time in terms of planning. So having it partnered with a bigger conference is a good thing from that perspective. The bad thing is it makes it a conference really more than a conference. And so we felt it lost some of the spontaneity and people just being able to kind of cut loose and talk about those things, because there are all these things we want to talk about in HR that we never feel comfortable in a conference setting doing. So it kind of gives us that feeling of freedom. And I think the community that is part of it is so robust that, you know, when it came time to pick a city, we were just like, hey, we're going to do it the old way. You know, people just will crowdsource it. Where do you want to have it? You know, and there was sort of a little race going on, whether it be New Orleans or Dallas. And it, truthfully, it wins out where we're going to get the most hands on the ground helping us. And so even though Paul Hebert is not from there, his company Symbolist is there. And so he was the first to step up and really say, look, you know, you can have it at our location. But that takes a huge load off of us as planners, quite honestly. So when things right. like that start coming together, it makes it easy to do it really anywhere. Also, Lois Melbourne, you know, who's a longtime friend of both of ours, you know, she's really just taking over the tweet up. And then partnering, you know, with good sponsors. We've got Mercer sponsoring our tweet up, and then we have Small Improvements and Symbolist, you know, sponsoring the event itself. It just makes it easy again. So I'm looking forward to it. I guess, too, the last shout-out I'll say is just having a boss that understands. So Mike Cook at Brandon Hall Group, you know, he knew this was something I did when he hired me. We also have Ben Eubanks, who's one of my planners, co-planners, co-founders as well. And Ben is now an analyst with Brandon Hall Group. And so Brandon Hall Group and our whole team has been just really supportive. Like, if we need to do little things here and there, it's like we don't have to feel guilty. We can get it done, you know, through the day. And so I'm not up until 2 a.m. doing it anymore. It's been much easier than it used to be.
Well, I can't wait. I'm registering, and Matthew Stolick and I are doing a session late in the day, and we're both really excited about that. And so, I mean, first of all,
tell people what it's called. I know you probably don't want to have all the time dedicated to tell people what you're doing. It's really unique, I think.
It's a spinoff on basically something that happened in the sports world, where we all kind of heard about it at the same time off of Grantland and ESPN, these ideas that are just laying around that are almost good enough ideas. Like, you almost hear it and you're like, does that exist? Should that exist? It kind of seems like an idea that should be at market. So it's a half-baked HR ideas. And the idea is to get people to kind of to laugh and to engage in that, but also to kind of thinking about these ideas that we leave on the cutting room floor in a little bit different way. And it was actually Matthew's idea, and you know, it's just kind of a cool idea. Just we've got a whole list, and we're going to brainstorm another, you know, 20 or 30 of these ideas and go through them really fast. But we want people to come to the session with some ideas as well, because we'll pitch each other, and we might have some awards for the best idea and things like that. But it would just be a fun session where we get to, this is what I love about HR Evolution, is these types of sessions. There's no PowerPoint, there's none of that. It's a bunch of people, really thoughtful people sitting around, and we're going to throw out some ideas, and the whole day will be like that. The whole day, I really think it's like a family reunion. That's how I've always kind of thought of HR Evolution, as a functional, as opposed to dysfunctional HR Evolution.
Our dysfunctional family.
Right. We've got about 5 minutes left. I definitely wanted to get, I know Brendan Hall is doing an event in January. And it's a big deal. And I wanted to actually talk with you a little bit about it. What's the bit? What are y'all trying to achieve with your own show in January?
Yeah, so thank you for mentioning. We have, it's called the Brandon Hall Group Excellence Conference, and it's at the end of January. People can go just to brandonhall.com and get more information on it. What we are trying to do is really come up with a conference that focuses on some of our award winners, So we do excellence awards each year in the HR and technology space. And so this is a way to bring some of those case studies to life in front of our members and of, you know, other HR leaders and our, you know, vendors that we work with and whatnot. And so it's really a way to talk about how companies have used not just technology solutions that have become award-winning case studies, but then also how does the data that we're seeing from a survey standpoint fit in with these type of case studies. So it's sort of blending case studies with data. And I think that's maybe a little bit different angle than some other events have taken on in the past. So, or actually the sales are really good, but, you know, I think it's going to be exciting. It's always exciting to start something new. And, you know, that's right up my alley. I will say too that, I like where I work because part of what Ben and I get to do, since we tend to think a little differently maybe than some other people, is that we get to do an unconference session at this event as well. So we're going to bring a little of HR Evolution type content and approach into the Excellence Conference. So, you know, people should come and check it out. You know, I think too, that's the exciting part of my job is that having access to this data now is different than what I've had in the past. And so being able to sort of weave that not just into the Excellence Conference, but anytime I'm going out speaking, I'm able to bring some data to sort of back up what I'm saying. And that's been a really good thing to do. So,
That's
we
fantastic.
Also,
and it's in Florida.
Sorry, go ahead.
So Florida in January, these aren't bad.
Florida
things,
in January.
So.
Yeah. You can't go wrong. It's in Fort Lauderdale, you know, beautiful setting. It's going to be great, really. We have some interactive workshops, you know, that people can participate in as well for more specific type HR and learning and development topics. And so, you know, those are good for practitioners and vendors, you know, on both sides of the aisle there, if
well,
you will.
Know,
I think, too,
one,
just being
thing,
able to meet vendors, you know, I think that's something, too. You want to meet people in a way that's not salesy. And this is a good way to do it. Anytime you find events where you can do that and not feel like you're being pitched, as a practitioner, I used to find that really, really compelling.
One thing you did not mention in your bio is that you also helped found the Women of HR blog. So I wanted to make sure to call that out, that that's actually very cool. And it's also yet another thing that you've helped bring to market. How's that going, by the way? How's the trajectory, or how's the new
oh,
year?
Oh, you know what? It's been a really good project. So, you know, I started it several years ago with some other ladies in the HR space, and it's been a really good way for different women in our industry to own Women of HR. So Lisa Rosendahl actually stepped up as our editor and sort of, you know, CEO, for lack of a better word, you know, for the first couple of years. And now Jenny Payne, who works in her day job as an HR leader at Tops Market in Buffalo, New York, she's now heading up Women of HR. And so it's a good way for people. I always feel better when I'm working on my own personal development. You know, I never expected my company to have to develop me necessarily, because sometimes, you know, if you wait for that, it'll never happen. So it's been a good outlet to have, and not just women. Many of our writers are men now. So, for people who want to check it out, it's womenofhr.com, and they can come and learn how to really get more involved in the HR community. So it's a good thing.
Very cool.
Yeah,
well,
very cool.
Of course, are out of time. So listen, we are going to see each other next week. What's the best way for people to kind of follow you online? Is it Twitter?
Yeah, for me, it's still Twitter. If they're on Twitter, it's just at Trish McFarlane, McFarlane. And if not, then my HR Ringleader blog, which is just hrringleader.com. So those are my two primary ways to find me. And, of course, at just brandonhall.com as well. I have a blog there, so.
Awesome. Well, listen, it was wonderful to hear your voice. I can't wait to see you next week.
Well.
Safe travels. And thanks, everyone, for listening to Drive Through HR. We're going to roll out to a little happy. Thanks, Trish.
Thank you.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. by the way.